So the message this morning, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 1, and Howard's going to read it to us in a minute. But just before we got started on that, I just wanted to do a little bit of a recap, because it feels like a couple of weeks ago since we opened up and looked at Ephesians, and it's always good just to get this into context about what we're talking about this morning. So I just wonder if we could have the first slide up there, Marion. It's the one that's got the map on it. Here we go. I showed this last time. So it's just to help us remember to move our brains into where we are. We're looking at a letter that Paul sent to a whole group of churches around the great Roman city of Ephesus. And he wrote this letter as an open letter, a lot of scholars think. It was designed to be shared and to be passed on. And it was written to a church that's really quite familiar to us today. It was a busy, pressurised, multicultural, secular world that Paul was writing to when he spoke to the people here in Ephesus. This church were people who were trying to apply their faith in everyday situations and their lives, very similar to us today. So there's a lot we can learn from looking at this wonderful letter that Paul wrote. The other interesting thing about this letter, and I didn't mention this last time, but I'm going to drop it in now. Some of you will know that a lot of scholars think that Paul wrote this letter right at the end of his life. So it's almost like he's pouring out all his thoughts and ideas about what it means to have faith, what he has learned. He's kind of like passing it on to the next generation. And the other thing that's really challenging about this letter, and we'll come across this as we start to read it through, is that Paul wrote this in prison. It's amazing to think that, isn't it? He was in Rome, and scholars think he was imprisoned, and he was physically restricted. He couldn't go out and about, and yet he wrote this wonderful letter to the Ephesians that's full of life. It's full of vitality and encouragement and hope. And it's just interesting to think about Paul, what he was facing personally, but how he wrote. And just remember what we thought about last time as well. It's a bit of a recap, really, but it just helps us to understand where we're going a bit today. He starts by telling the Ephesians about this wonderful blessing, this blessed way that they have to live in Christ. And if you remember, we talked about the idea of the fact that they were chosen, Paul said. They were adopted into God's family. They were loved. They belonged. All these wonderful words, redeemed, forgiven. They knew God's purposes, they had a future, they were part of God's plan, they had access to the Holy Spirit. Wow, these things are amazing, aren't they? They're wonderful gifts that God has given to us and that we have access to. And there was this idea that Paul wrote about their identity being changed, that when they became believers, something miraculous happened. There was this transforming, changing process that we started to talk about at the beginning of the service. They were new beings. They joined a new family and they were connected to Christ in a really special way. They belonged to him. And we have all those blessings too. It's a wonderful thing as we begin this letter to remember who we are in Christ. But what's interesting is Paul says that that doesn't kind of just stop there, it carries on. This process of growing and transforming, it's not just something that happens once, an experience that happens once. It's something that will continue for them as a church. They're meant to change. It's meant to be dynamic. We're meant to transform and to grow. I think that's quite exciting, isn't it? I've got a few nodding heads. The idea of being a Christian is not supposed to be boring. It is supposed to be an adventure. And it is supposed to change us and help us to be fuller people, to grow into our identity. Now, that's really exciting. So I've got another picture to show you. Marion, could you pop up the next one? Let's see where we are with these. Ha-ha, here we go. This is a very brief discussion. I want you to have a look at these four or five people. I'll tell you who some of them are. Some of them you'll recognise. They're well-known Christian people from different parts of the story of the world, really. I try to put a real mixture of men and women in from different backgrounds. But the thing they have in common is that they're well-known Christians. So we've got, that's the Apostle Paul up at the top there, just in case you're not sure. That's Paul. So he's the oldest really there. We've got Mother Teresa and Desmond Tutu. This one I popped in, this lady in the middle. I don't know if any of you, some of you will know this story. This is a local well-known lady. She's called Joan Norman. Any ring any bells? She's one of the Amersham martyrs. Do anybody heard the story of the Amersham martyrs? We learned a little bit about it when we came to visit the church last year, and we went into Amersham. She was a lady that lived during Henry VIII's time, and she was a follower of John Wycliffe. So I'm sure some people will start to know what this story is about, who translated the Bible into English. And she was part of a group of Christians that believed that we should be able to read the Bible in our own language. And because of that, she was killed. She was a martyr. So she's quite an interesting lady. There was five of them in Amersham. Lollards, they were called. So that's quite an interesting story. And the final one, some of you will recognise the gentleman at the end, a German, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, during the Second World War, very famous, well-known Christian scholar who died as part of the Nazi regime, killed him. So what I'm going to ask you to do, just very briefly, I just want you to talk amongst yourself and look at these pictures about people who are remembered, and I want you to ask yourself, what is it about them that they're remembered? What makes them special as believers? What does it mean to be a Christian, basically, is the question for these people. So have a little look at them and have a discussion. You might just want to choose one and just talk about it. But there's something special about them that made them, made so that we could remember them, that made them famous. Just have a talk and talk about the characteristics of things that you know about them that stand out for you. So over to you.
There's that smile on her face, a radiance.
So real examples of joy for a number of the people here. There's some and commitment, yes. These are amazing words, aren't they? About these people and the example that they've given to us. And one of the ones that I picked up was the idea of persevering. They didn't give up, and I think some of you mentioned this, that they kept going, they kept focused, they kept going till the end. I'm just thinking, yeah, they're all in heaven now, aren't they, these people? Just thinking about where they are and their perseverance. They didn't give up. When Jesus started to put his team together of disciples, he gave them an invitation, didn't he, that we read in the Gospels. It was a very simple invitation. It was to follow him, to follow him. And at that point, there must have been a real moment of decision for those people. Sometimes we even pick that up as we read the stories, don't we, of the decision to follow. But there was a sense of turning away from the old life, but not just staying still, but moving forward, the act of walking, of moving forward to follow. And you can, I just pop this picture up here to help us just sort of reflect on that. Being a follower of Jesus means we have to follow. We have to move. We have to move forward. It's a very simple idea, but it's very deep. And it has a huge impact on our lives. It changes everything, really, doesn't it? But it also means that it involves things like trust. It involves knowing the person that we're following. It means a sense of belonging and direction, all those things, as we follow. It didn't always mean that it was going to be easy, and we know that as we read through the Gospels and in the New Testament, at points it was very hard for the followers of Jesus. But there is a sense of continuing to move forward and following, growing, always expanding in your experience of faith. We're going to listen to the Bible now. We're actually going to have Ephesians read to us, and Howard's going to come up and actually read the text for us. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 1 today, 15 to 23. It's a prayer that Paul gave, and I've just popped a verse on the end that I've stolen from chapter 2. I hope Tim doesn't mind, because he's going to be preaching on this bit later in the month. So I've taken one verse out of the text that I've given to Tim, which I hope he doesn't mind. But let's listen to Ephesians. Do you want to come up, Howard, and just read it for us?
Yeah. For this reason, ever since I heard that your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be heard, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Praise be the Lord.
And there's that verse at the bottom that I've taken from chapter 2 that we're going to think about next time. But that we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's just a lovely prayer, isn't it? There's so much in this passage. You know, when I started to look at this, I thought, well, where do I start? There's loads to talk about. And we get real insight into Paul's prayer life here. And his commitment for others, which is quite thought-provoking. And we also get an insight into the heart of the church in Ephesus. It was obviously a community that loved others and had a real reputation for loving. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we had that reputation here as well? I hope we do. So we learn that from this passage as well. But there's also something very interesting in this passage, because there's something here about Paul trying to pray into the potential for this community. This idea that he still thought there was still lots more that they could learn and discover. And he wanted them to really grasp that and grow into it and to know it. And this is what this prayer is all about. It's all about praying that they might be changed, continue to be changed, that they might grow and that they might mature. And there's some wonderful things that he prays for the church here. I wonder if this is the sort of thing that you pray for people. He prayed that they might have a spirit of wisdom, that they might have revelation, that they might see things clearer and better. He asked that their hearts might be full of light, that it might be they might be enlightened. He prayed that they might know hope and the purpose that they've been called to. There's that wonderful bit about the riches, that they might really get deep down into the riches of what it means to know God. And then he prayed for power. I don't know if we often pray for that here in the West, but he prayed for power, that power that raised Jesus from the dead. That really sort of jumped out at me. That's power, isn't it? To break the chains of death. And then at the end, he talks about the fact that it's Jesus who is control, that they might live as people who know that Jesus is the boss, that he's the head of his people, that in him is the authority over all things. There's this real sense, isn't there, as Paul prays this prayer for the Ephesians, that he doesn't think that they've finished yet. They've still got some things to do. They've still got lots to experience and to know. It's like a continuous work that he prays into their life. I don't know about you, but I want a lot of these things in my life as well, as you look at these things that Paul is praying. When I was looking at this passage, it made me think back, really, over the last 2 years of COVID. It was interesting to hear the picture that Janice shared as well, right at the beginning, of this idea of being contained, sort of like as a chrysalis. And it has felt like that, hasn't it, I guess, for many people. For me, it has, this sense of life being restricted. And for many people, particularly in the West, this is an experience of really having our world turned upside down. Globally, for many people, this is a reality that they face, with this insecurity most of their lives. But we're really cushioned from that in many ways, aren't we? Yet the last 2 years we've experienced uncertainty and fear to a certain extent. It's been a hard experience for lots of people, and people have lost loved ones and they've been frightened, and many of us have had that experience too. Yet in amongst all this disruption in our lives, there's also been conversations, hasn't there, about how it's given people space to think. I don't know if you've picked that up in the media at all, that some of the enforced isolation, the fact that we've been forced to stop being so busy, has actually given space for people to actually reflect and to think, to step off that conveyor belt that many of us feel on of busyness and actually have space. And I think for a lot of people, it's brought questions up. What is life really all about? It's given us space to think about some of the deeper things of life. And it's interesting that because of that, people have started to try and seek and find and ask those questions. Lots of people have gone into nature, haven't they, to seek space and peace. When we were across at Burnham Beaches, I know Chris told me that lots of people went up there, parked all the cars, it was absolutely packed because people were trying to get out, understandably, for exercise, but also this just this sense of freedom that we have when we're out in nature as well. There's been lots of articles on things like mindfulness. I read a lovely one on the healing sounds of birdsong, which I try and sort of switch into listening to the birds now. It really challenged me to think about what that's like. But hundreds of people have also engaged with the church online, and there's lots of stories of people doing that, and it's wonderful, you know, for us to be able to do this. And as we think about developing this technology into the future, there's something about people trying to work things out as they've got space to think. And lots of people want these things, don't they? Understandably, they want to be wise. They want to see things more clearly. They want lighter hearts. They want hope to know that death is not the end. They want purpose in their life. They're looking for a power that is greater than the pressures of the world around us. And here it is. Paul prays all this for the church in Ephesus. It's ours, all these amazing, wonderful blessings of reassurance, of living life alive in Christ in all these wonderful ways. And I know it said it last time, but I just want to say hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful when you look at what is available to us, that God gives to us, that transforms us, that keeps changing us, that says, you're valued, you've got potential. I want to give you all these things to help you live your life and to live it fully. I think it's just a wonderful thing that we have to experience for ourselves and as a church community, and also to share with others, this invitation to be a people who are changing in this wonderful faith way. Do you want to pop the next slide on for me? Oh, here we go. I think we'll pop the next one on for me. This is a little bit about the fact that one of the things that's interesting about this passage, I don't know, some of you might have noticed it, is that it's not just prayed for us as individuals, it's also prayed, Paul prays this over the whole church community. He often uses the term us and a collective idea of praying. And he also talks about Jesus being the head of the church. So he's our head, but he's also the head of the church. Now, this idea of this communal idea of being together as a community. So God wants us to experience this for ourselves, but he also wants us to know all these things in our church, our family life, our Christian family life. He wants us to live healthy, be healthy bodies that are filled with Christ, that are alive in Christ. And these are the sorts of things that he wants us to be as we read this passage, as a whole community. He wants us to be a community that think through, take seriously and ponder and consider and think through what we believe. Also people that understand time, that time is eternal. It isn't just about time here on this life, but to have a perspective of what time is like and to explore that and think about that together. He wants us to be communities that are confident, that trust in God's provision, and also communities that are active in God's power as well. I'm just going to finish off by looking at that verse that we read, that one that I stole from Tim's section in chapter 2, because it's just so lovely. Do you want to pop it on for me there, Maria? So this lovely one about being God's handiwork. And I think this is a really good way to sort of pause at this point before we go into the next part of Ephesians. I love this idea of God's handiwork. We sang, didn't we, about being potters. That was something I was thinking about when I was preparing this. There's a lovely vision, isn't there, prophecy in the Old Testament about us being like clay in God's hands as he shapes us into something beautiful. And I also thought a little bit about art, and I thought it'd be good to go and talk to an artist to explore this a little bit more. So I popped around and had a coffee with Linda. So thank you, Linda, for sharing your thoughts about art with me. And it was really lovely. Linda brought some of her beautiful pictures out that she's working on at the moment. And then she explained to me just the amount of time and effort and detail and preparation that goes into the pieces of work when she's working on them. And it just gave me this real insight about how God is preparing us, the detail and the attention that he gives to us, just like an artist as he forms us and creates in us. And it's a lovely picture of God the artist. So I'm just gonna finish now as we move into the sort of end part of the service. And I wanted to give us a bit of space just to think. It's always really good to take something away when we hear a message, to be able to apply it practically as we go into the week. So this is going to be something I'm going to ask you to do on your own. I'm not going to ask you to share it. So it's just a moment of silence. And I've got a couple of pictures here again, Marion, for us, just to have a little look at of God's handiwork. So I just wonder, when you come before God, I wonder how you feel at the moment, where you're at with this process of God's working in your life. Some of you might still feel that you're a bit like this one on this side, about a blank canvas. You might be right at the beginning of this experience of being on a journey with God, and you're here before him and you say, I'm just a blank canvas, Lord, start working with me. And that's a really exciting place to be. But maybe some of you here have never got to that point of handing your life over. You might have been a believer for a long time, but never really given your life over for God to start doing this wonderful work in you. You still might feel like a blank canvas, so that image might be helpful for you as you pray this through. But then some of you might feel like the tapestry here, the idea of lots of knots, and it all feels in a bit of a muddle, and you're not really sure where it's all going or what it looks like. There might be some painful bits in there that you don't understand, and you just feel really knotty. And I just want to say to you, a tapestry is often like that on the back, but when you turn it over, it's something of beauty, and the knots are there to create the beautiful tapestry on the other side. So you might be there at the moment, you just might want to hold that image before you. We've talked about the potter there. That's a lovely image. We've already shared that in our worship, this idea that you're just giving yourself over to God. You just want him to make you a shape, and you're quite happy to submit to him making you into a lovely pot. And that might be something that you relate to. And then finally, I found this lovely artist. I had a really lovely sort of hour or two as I'm preparing, looking at incomplete works of art. And I came across this interesting artist called Bruno Catalano, and he's done these series of artworks that are called Travellers, which is quite interesting. Travelling, because they've all got suitcases that they're holding, and yet there's something that's incomplete. There's a hole, there's a gap in there. It's not complete, and they're just wanting, what's going to fill the gap is the question, I suppose, for these bits of art. And you might just feel like that today, that you've got a big gap and you just want God to fill it. So I'm just going to pause for a little bit and just give us a moment of silence. And then we're going to just sing quietly in our seats. We're going to listen to a clip that you might want to join in with your sing or just listen to. And then I'll pray for us at the end. So let's just have a moment. Ask God to show to you where you are in this process of being shaped and formed.